In connection with our text, which we take from Peter's epistle, we're going to turn to two passages of Scripture first, to Psalm 147, and then to Christ's Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the broken in heart, binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars and calls them by their names. Great is the Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the meek and casts the wicked down on the earth to the earth. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covers the heaven with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow upon the mountains. He gives to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He makes peace in thy borders and fills thee with the finest of wheat. He sends forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes the wind to blow and the waters flow to flow. He shows his word unto Jacob, and his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nations. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. And now the particulars of that are set forth by our Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6 of Matthew. And let me begin to read at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And now turn with me to Peter's epistle to the churches. And I have in mind in particular the last chapter in which the Apostle Peter sets forth various admonitions. And the one that I have in mind this morning is verse 7. casting all your care upon him, upon God, for he cares for you. We live in a day and age, beloved, that is characterized by anxiety. All you need to do is bend your ear to what is said and what is written in the world round about you, and you will hear that they are worried. They are worried about themselves. They are worried about the direction of society. They are worried about warfare among the nations. They are worried about their children. They are worried about this and they are worried about that. And all that worry, of course, is horizontal. For after all these things, says our Lord Jesus Christ, the Gentiles seek. And you and I are commanded not to fill our hearts full of anxiety because we know that our God cares for you. And that's precisely what Peter is telling us in this particular text. Casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Yet when you and I are looking at ourselves, and we look in the mirror for a moment, and we find that we have not dispensed with this particular care and anxiety as we should. We too fill our hearts full of worry. We too sometimes throw up our hands in despair. We are worried about our families. We worry about our children. We worry about our children's children. We worry what will become of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of this world. We worry about finances. We worry about this and we worry about that. And we too partake so much of the very sin that society partakes of, even though we are the children of God and we have no reason at all to do that. Let's confess that, shall we? We worry about ourselves personally, our health, our strength. We worry about the things that affect us. We worry about our health and our strength. Not only, we worry about our longevity. We worry about everything in the midst of this world. And we take all these things upon our own shoulders, even though we know very well, and we confess it, that God is the God of providence, Lord's Day 10, that he is our Heavenly Father, and as we have said the last several weeks from the pulpit, we know very well that as earthly fathers we are able to give good gifts to our children. Certainly God will deal with us in his grace and according to his mercy, and you and I should do as we are told. We ought not to give a thought to the things of tomorrow. We should not be consumed with the things of this world. We should seek the kingdom and trust that God will add the rest unto us. There are two words in our text that are both translated exactly the same in the King James Version that you have before you, and we ought to straighten out a moment the original meaning here. So we are straighten out a moment in our minds what is the original meaning here. We read here, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Those two words are not the same in the original. In fact, we could maybe better translate it this way. Casting all your anxieties or your worries upon him because he makes you his particular care. That's really what the text says. And the meaning of those words is very relevant here. And you and I ought to underscore that a moment. When we use that word care here in the first part of our text as it applies to us, casting all your care upon him, then what Peter has in mind is the care and the anxiety and the worry that you and I oftentimes take hold of. It is the futile concern which we have. It is the troubled heart that we have. It is the anxious spirit that we have. It is the insomnia that takes hold of us. It's the virtual desperation that sometimes characterizes us. Why? Because we know very well that the truth of the Word of God is this, that you and I, for all that we think to be able to achieve, are not even able to add one cubit to our stature, as Christ tells us, and we cannot make one hair of our head either white or black. You and I have nothing wherewith to control the things of this life. Though sometimes you and I believe that we control all things and that our own fate is in our hands and that what you and I are able to do are great things to affect our life one way or another. That's not true. And what we do is this. We take the cares of this life that are legitimate in and of themselves, and we turn them into anxiety and worry. We are surrounded every day by the things of this world, the necessities that we have in ourselves, the direction of history, the news that is dinned into our ears. We receive all those things, and what do you and I do? We turn around and we make these things our very own, as if we are going to have one thing to do with what happens in the future, as if you and I are going to be able to change the course of history, as if you and I can provide for ourselves, as if there is no God. Almost as if we fall into the category which you read of in the Sermon on the Mount. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. And you and I sometimes cannot even be differentiated from the world because of the attitude which we take with regard to the things of this world. And if we look at ourselves honestly, then we find that that's exactly the truth. What can we affect? Can we change the content of one moment? Can we eradicate one disease? Can we lower the temperature of our children? Can we mend their bones? Can we put even one crumb on the table for them? Can we change the course? And the answer is quite evident. No, we can't. And then why do we fill our hearts full of anxiety? And why are sometimes we on the verge of despair? And why do we toss on our pillows at night? And why do we fill our hearts and our minds with useless worry? How sinful. How sinful to take the things that you and I have no control over, to take the things that you and I are totally dependent upon God for, and to make those things our very own, and to fill our hearts with anxiety as if you and I can bear and shoulder all these burdens. We know very well that they are far beyond our control. O ye of little faith. That's why worry is sin. O ye of little faith. As if we don't know that we have a Father who is in heaven. As if we don't understand that we are the palm of His hands. As if we don't understand what we quote to one another so often, that all these things must invariably and inevitably work together for our good. That's sin. What does God command us? Cast your cares upon Him. Cast your cares upon Him. My concerns, my worries as I make them, my problems, my future, my direction, my circumstances, everything that has to do with me, cast your cares upon God. Those things that I take upon myself, that I think to be able to control, that I worry about, cast them upon the Lord. The word there is literally fling it upon Him. The same word that the gospel writers use in the triumphal entry when they talk about throwing their garments upon the donkey and before our Lord Jesus Christ in order that He might be triumphantly in royal splendor ride into Jerusalem. Exactly the same word. Cast your cares and your burdens upon the Lord. That's something that we don't inherently do. That's something that is not an inherent quality in us. That's something that we need to learn, and we learn that in the context here. Peter talks about it in the previous verse. Humble yourself, therefore, before the mighty hand of God. Humility. Understand who we are. Understand what we can affect or not. And then we learn that we are creatures of the dust who are wholly dependent upon God for everything that we are and everything that we need. Whether it be the breath that we draw, or the heart that beats, or the food that we place upon our tables, or the children that are conceived among us, or their care, it is all dependent upon the Lord our God, because we cannot in ourselves take care of any of these things. Humble ourselves before God. I am nothing but a dependent creature. I can affect nothing. God alone can. I cannot change the course of history. It is the unfolding of God's counsel. Humility. That's where it begins. And then we can cast our cares upon God. That sounds rather simple, but it's a very deep concept. There are two things involved. In the first place, it means that we cast them from ourselves upon the Lord. We have trouble doing that. Or we sometimes unload ourselves upon the Lord. We use prayer to do that. And sometimes we unburden ourselves before the Lord, and we do that chiefly when there's particularly difficult things in our life. We spoke of that last week. And we unburden ourselves before the Lord. We bear our soul before the Lord. We, as with Hezekiah of old, we spread it all before the Lord and say, here it is. The problem is, we sometimes get up off our knees, from our knees, and we want to take control of exactly the same things that we haven't left with the Lord. And sometimes it becomes a relating things to the Lord, but a relying upon my own strength. And sometimes we think that, yes, we need to unburden to the Lord, but we need to accomplish these things in and of ourselves, and we know very well that we cannot do that. That's not casting our cares upon the Lord. It's not a matter, you understand, of letting Him know where you and I are struggling. It's not a matter of letting Him know that you and I have a particular difficulty. It's not a matter of informing the Lord of all the things in my life and in my world that I need to bring to Him. But it's a matter of actually bringing them to the Lord, getting up from our knees so that they are His and not our own. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Leave them with Him. And that's where faith comes in. Trust in Him. Commit your way unto Him. And the Lord will make it come to pass. Not only do you cast it from yourself, but you trust in the Lord that He will care for your every need, so that they are not the burdens of your heart, they are not the burdens of my heart, they are not the insomnia that bothers us in the night, they're not the worry that occupies our mind, but you and I walk away from prayer, and we have left it with the Lord. Commit our way to Him. Trust in Him. And He will make it come to pass. There's a very good reason to do that, you know. First of all, let's look at ourselves. What can we do? What are you and I able to accomplish? For all our worry, we find it is useless. For all our fretting, it accomplishes nothing. To cast it upon the Almighty God, of whom we sang just a few moments ago, who causes it to rain, who causes the seed to sprout, who provides for the animals, who so dresses the lilies of the field that they are more glorious than Solomon, who takes care of you and who takes care of me in a very meticulous way, so that not even one hair can fall from our heads except it be by the will of the Almighty God. No, let's go a little bit beyond that, shall we? And that's exactly where Peter is going. Because He makes your care His very own. And when Peter talks about that, he isn't just talking about providence in general. Peter isn't saying, God takes care of everything, He'll take care of you as well. That's not the point here. The point is this, that God makes your care, and He makes my care, and He makes the care of my family, and He makes the care of my finances, and He makes the care of this world that I have, for this world that I have. He makes all these cares His very own. And we know very well how He's done that. He's done that in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom He presses us to His bosom, and He makes us His dear children, so that we can call Him our Father who art in heaven. He has done that in the blood of Calvary, in which He has redeemed us unto Himself, has adopted children who are entitled to the care of their Heavenly Father, who have the inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that never passes away. God has done that in Christ. That's something that you and I possess, that the world in general has no idea about. They live without God and His Christ. They ought to listen to the gospel of grace. And you and I live in the bosom of our Heavenly Father, who is the sovereign creator and sustainer of the heavens and the earth, who holds the planets in their circuit, who provides for your and my daily needs, who holds the reins of society in His hand, who meander, Proverbs 21, the mighty kings of this world, like rivers of water. They accomplish his purpose, who has made our Lord Jesus Christ King of kings and Lord of lords, who sits at his right hand in glory and dispenses over all, disperses all, dispenses the whole counsel of God. He is our Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. We are the apple of his eye. We are his redeemed possession. We are his beloved children. We don't have a worry in this world. We may not burden ourselves with anxiety. Why? Because it is all in the hands of the Almighty God. And who are we from time to time to stand up in our pride as if we can affect anything? Let's humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Let's lay it all before him in prayer, beloved. Let's let him know what burdens us, and then let's leave it there. And the Lord will sufficiently provide. And he will direct, and he will command all things to work together for your and my good and his glory. The result of that is very simple. We have a peace that passes all understanding. We have a serenity that you can find nowhere else in this world. You can't find it in bank accounts. You can't find it in insurance policies. You can't find it in job security. You certainly can't find it in yourself. You can find it in the Lord. Who has all things in the palm of his hand. Who controls everything that is the circumstance in your life and in mine. And we may be worried about our family. God has made that his very own concern. And we may be worried about our finances, and God makes that his concern. And we may be worried about the direction of our society, and God makes that his concern for the sake of the church, his beloved son. Then we can fill our hearts and our souls not with worry, not with anxiety, but as those who are blessed by him in every state of life, and who can depend upon him, and who can be perfectly calm and serene, knowing that God will take care of us and our children unto the very end. I was going to read a couple of verses, and I would ask you to turn in your Psalter with me to read those, to hymnal with me to read them a moment. Number 117. Versification of Psalm 62. The first and the third stanza of 117. My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior he has proved. He only is my rock and tower, I never shall be moved. My honor is secure with God, my Savior he is known. My refuge and my rock of strength are found in God alone. 3. My honor is secure with God, my Savior he has known. My refuge and my strength, my rock of strength, are found in God alone. On him ye people evermore, rely with confidence. Before him pour out your heart, for God is our defense. Turn to number 90. The last stanza. Be still and know that I am God, or all exalted high. The subject nations of the earth my name shall magnify. The Lord of hosts is on our side, our safety to secure. The God of Jacob is for us a refuge, strong and sure. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy word to us this morning. We readily confess before thee that we fill our hearts full of anxiety, and we worry, as if we can affect anything. We know very well that all things are in the palm of thy hand, and there is nothing amiss. May that calm serenity clothe us. May we trust in thee. May our faith be strong. Amen.